Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and blessing me. And I also want to ask all of you prayer warriors out there to please pray for my friend, Ms. Parks, as she was taken to the hospital earlier this morning as she has had a stroke. So right now I understand that things are, you know, kind of up in the air, but they're waiting to have some tests done. But she actually definitely is in need of our prayers. So I want to put that out there. So today I'm not in the best of moods, but we go push it and make it through. So I want to, again, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Now, today's topic is one of those topics that has to not only do with being in a relationship, but sometimes individuals struggle in this area for a lot of different reasons, especially when we talk about our emotions. And emotions is one of those things that when you're dating someone, you know, you may say this person look good, she's nice, she's pretty, or he got this going on for himself. But is the individual emotionally stable, or could it be that they are emotionally unavailable? Now, for some reason, my phone want to be blown up off the hook while anybody want to call me while I'm on the air. But when we're talking about these things in regards to being emotionally unavailable, are you in a relationship with an individual that appears to be unavailable? Are they ghosting you or perhaps struggling to make a commitment and you are noticing some signs and symptoms? Now, we know that relationships can take on many different forms. However, when one is attracted to someone, dating someone, or perhaps married to an individual that appears to be struggling with their emotions, it can create a challenge. Many individuals have knowledge that they may struggle with expressing their emotions, and such can be to the point to where it may be difficult for them to share with another person in regards to how they feel or what they may be going through. Now, today's show is designed to discuss being involved with one who's emotionally unavailable, because I want you to know what those signs and symptoms are. Now, I do have a caller on the line. Let me log on this person before we continue with the show. Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing? Number ending in 06.
There's Michelle.
Okay, Michelle. Thank you for calling in. All right. Now, as we're talking about this, if you are wanting to be closer to this individual and often question if it's even possible, it could be that the individuals may be sending you mixed messages and you don't know what that's about, or they can become evasive, make excuses, or maybe inept, meaning don't even know how to talk about their feelings or the relationship. Now, individuals will often want to explore therapy because I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. And a lot of times when I'm working with couples or individuals, many times I find that they are struggling with their feelings or, you know, different things that are going on with them. Now, I want to put it out there that both women and men can be emotionally unavailable, which I learned that this morning when I was talking to my friend on the phone and he was trying to tell me about, because I was talking about a man that's emotionally unavailable. He said, well, what about a woman that's emotionally unavailable? And when I started reading the signs, I noticed that some of those symptoms kind of hit close to home. But it could be that when we're talking about these things, that there are also, like I said, different types of unavailability. Again, it could be temporarily or it could be chronic. The individual may have been unavailable even when you met them. And others may become unavailable as the relationships grow. It could be that the individual may have a mental illness, a troubled childhood, a higher priority than a relationship, or there may be a drug or alcohol problem. The individual may also be married or in another relationship. Now, Michelle, what made you call in for the show today? What did you want to know about emotionally unavailable?
I don't know. I just lot to hear what's going on, and I'm trying to make it a thing that I call every Monday and every Tuesday, but, you know, I don't know. Like, my relationship is so down the hill that, you know, I can't, you already know, and there's too much to even say about, but, you know, I mean, I'm too scared to, like, go out and meet someone or go online and do that one dating thing because I'm afraid that I might find someone like Pill, you know? I mean, I'm just scared. I would rather be with the family and with God than to be out there trying to find a relationship because the world's going so much better that it's like, you know, a lot of people break up or if they're married, a divorce and whatnot. And I'm like, you know what? I'm better off by myself, you know.
And you know what, Michelle? It's interesting you said that because a lot of times individuals are so afraid because they feel that just because they're alone that they're lonely. And that's not always true. And a lot of times we're talking about our emotions. Some individuals, you know, have difficulties even expressing their emotions. Now, I have some information, and this was actually written by one of my individuals that I have spoken to on the phone, but trying to get her on the radio with me. Well, her name is Darlene Lancer, and she has a JD, and she's also a licensed MFT, and you can also find her on LinkedIn, and I see she did something on Psychology Today, and she also talks a lot about codependent relationships, too. Well, before I even start that, let me log this person on before I share her information. Hi, this is Janet Abney. Welcome to Predicaments, number ended in 30. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay. Uh-oh, this voice sounds familiar. How are you doing?
I am doing good. How are you?
I am doing well. How are things going with your codependency group?
It's doing very well. I had to give up the one in Orange County, and I'm in San Bernardino County right now. And so I'm in a new group. Well, I still have a sponsor in Orange County, but I figured I'd definitely need to chime in on this blog radio.
This kind of fits a lot of some of the things that you do because a lot of times people don't understand when a person is emotionally unavailable and what that is about. So if you are attracted to individuals, and I want you to give you some signs to look out for before you get hooked. Because like I said, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and a lot of times individuals come to me with a lot of different relational issues. And many of them have to do with emotions. Some of them have to do with other types of behavior too. Now, if you've been in a relationship with someone who's emotionally unavailable, you know the pain of not being able to get close to the one you love or the one you want to get to know. Like I said, they can become evasive. They can make excuses. They are just inept when it comes to talking about their feelings or their relationship. And some individuals may use anger, criticism, or activities to create distance. And you wondering, you know, do we love me? Kind of think of the songs of a lot of romantic songs that are out there. You end up feeling alone, depressed, unimportant, rejected. And usually we find that women complain about emotionally unavailable men, yet there are also men that complain about unavailable women. Now, I indicated earlier that there are several types of unavailability, both temporary and chronic. Some people have always been unavailable, and I indicated earlier due to mental health issues, troubled childhood, and other temporarily things, some things that can be making things such as other priorities, such as family obligations, education, a project, or a health concern. And people who are recently divorced or widowed may be temporarily not ready to get involved with someone new, or they may be afraid. Now, I have both of you guys on the phone. Now, I'm going to, whichever one I want to go first, because I know both of y'all probably like, I ain't looking for no close relationship. Well, what if you was looking for someone to be committed to, or, you know, you want to be with someone and they're a workaholic, or, you know, like I said, the unavailability could be because of their addiction. How would you handle that? Number ending in 30. You want to tell them your name and what you do and why?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to the gentleman on the line with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Where do you go?
I guess I'll chime in. You got to express how you're feeling. You can't let your
mm-hmm.
feelings build up. Resentment's a huge thing that is a problem in a lot of relationships. If you let that resentment get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, eventually it's going to be the elephant in the room, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's going to blow at the top. So you got to talk about your feelings. If there's addiction problems, try to steer the person towards the 12 steps or other ways to deal with your addictions. And that also goes towards codependency, because codependency is the source of all addictions and that
mm-hmm.
early childhood trauma. And
mm-hmm.
that trauma doesn't go away. And as codependents, we like to numb ourselves so we don't feel that pain of the trauma that we had as kids.
Correct.
So you got to address those things. And there are people that are, no matter what you discuss, they are emotionally unavailable. And in those cases,
mm-hmm.
that's a toxic situation and you need to walk away.
Correct. And you know, a lot of times
there's just no way around it. You got to walk away, go no contact, or go Gray Rock with those kind of people. And
now the team's trying to ghost me. We ghost people now.
Yep.
You know
a little bit on the subject.
Yeah, I want to get a list of some information, and this is on Psychology Today, and it says, here's a list of more subdued red flags that may signal unavailability, especially when you have several that add up. They apply to both genders. The following them are questions to ask yourself to find out whether you are ready for a committed relationship. If the person is flirty or there's flattery, some unavailable people are too flattery. And they know they don't have time for you, but they seem like they're charmers. You know, they give you a lot of compliments and often good at short-term intimacy. Some will allure with self-disclosure and vulnerability, but they prefer the chase to the catch. You find some that have difficulties with control. Someone who won't be inconvenienced to modify his or her routine. That's how you know they're unavailable. Disclosure. Your date may hint or even admit that he or she isn't good at relationships. I used to do that. Or doesn't believe or isn't ready for marriage. Listen to these negative facts and believe them. Because if you ignore them, you could be setting yourself up the past. Find out if the person has had a long-term relationship and why it ended. You might not want to know all the details, but sometimes learning a little bit about their past can also let you know where they're at in their life. If they are a perfection seeker, these people look for and find fatal flaws in opposite sex when they move on. Problem is that they're scared of intimacy. Then you have the anger. Notice the rudeness in how they treat other people. The arrogance, avoid someone who brags or acts cocky, signaling a low self-esteem. Lateness, chronic lateness is inconsiderate and can also be an indication that the person is avoiding a relationship. Invasiveness or evasiveness, if there's a lot of secrecy or seduction. Now, let me log on the other person. I think Amy is joining us now. Let me see if this is her. Good afternoon. Welcome to Precious Addictions, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You made it. Oh, girl, it's been a mess. My Saturday kind of turned out kind of crazy, but yeah. So I did go where I was supposed to go Saturday, but Ms. Parks wound up having a stroke.
Oh my goodness, is she okay?
She's in the hospital right now, so I got to leave here and go check and see what's going on with that. Because I left them Saturday night. No, I left them Sunday to go to church, and she didn't want me to leave. And she kept asking me to stay, so I guess I was trying to be in unavailable. So I went to church anyway, and then I woke up this morning and saw a text message that she was taken to the hospital from the casino at 4 a.m. in the morning. So she had a stroke at the casino. I know. I don't mean to be dealing with all of this. Okay, so let me get back to the show. Now, we started talking about the unavailability. You have to be honest with yourself. These are some questions that you can ask yourself about your own availability, too. Are you angry at the opposite sex? Do you like making or hearing jokes at their expense? Do you make excuses to avoid getting together? Because sometimes people make excuses because they really don't want to be bothered. Do you think that you're so independent that you don't need anyone? Do you fear falling in love because you may get hurt? Are you always waiting for the other shoe to drop? Are you distrustful? Do you avoid intimacy by filling quiet times with distractions? I guess I'm guilty of that one too. Are you uncomfortable talking about yourself or your feelings? And do you usually like to keep your options open in case someone else better comes along? And do you fear a relationship may place too many expectations on you that you have to give up your independence or lose your autonomy? Amy, what do you think about this topic as we are talking about emotionally unavailable? Because there's so many types of unavailability and when we talk about these different things. But what do you want to add to the show?
I think a lot of times people often use emotionally unavailable as an excuse. You know, they're scared of commitment. A lot of it's fear-based, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Maybe something happened in their childhood. They lost a parent. Maybe it's something in a previous relationship where they thought that person may have been the one and something could have gone wrong. So I think it mm-hmm. often gets tossed this around a lot, and people try mm-hmm. and ignore it. Like, you know, your significant other tries to avoid realizing that you are emotionally unavailable and makes up excuses, and then you're in a relationship for 2 years before you realize that it's unhealthy. It's a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? And a lot of times, Amy, individuals find it difficult to get out of these relationships because I was finding some information because, you know, Mr. Byron was asking me when I was talking about, so found some information about emotionally unavailable men. He's like, well, what about an unavailable woman? And I read some information. But we start talking about just the different sexes and what being emotionally unavailable really means and why do men do it. Most men want to be emotionally intimate, but their coping strategies get in the way. Now, we got one man on the phone, and I'm going to ask you, do you want to tell the listeners what your name is?
I'm Robert.
Okay, Robert. Do you think that's true that most men do want to be emotionally intimate, but their coping strategies get in the way?
Our coping strategies are totally a big hindrance. Coping strategies and survival, again, it all stems from that childhood trauma and how you were brought up. And, you know, I'll touch on the codependence things. If you're codependent, you have a hard time addressing your feelings, what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that that emotional scale, you know, that causes trouble. I think everyone wants to experience love, but that vulnerability, sticking our neck out and stepping into that fear of the unknown, that is a big thing that hinders a lot of people from experiencing love.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
so yeah, the fear is a big restriction that prevents you from experiencing a lot of things in life.
Yeah, it can. And even when we start talking about the fear, and a lot of times when we find that men are distancing themselves, a lot of women always often think, "Well, what did I do?" And for most men, getting emotionally unavailable is not just about sharing his emotions. It's about his openness with another person and not himself. It's about where he is at this moment emotionally and seeing with that discomfort instead of running or presenting it as fixed, resolved, or sorted out. So a lot of times, especially talking about men, and men learn how to handle things differently, and these are some of the things that it indicates. A lot of times, there's some signs of emotional unavailability and how to address them. blame others for the relationship. Now, Amy, you and I, we both know a lot of times, and even Michelle, we've been blamed for things, and we've been like, oh, my God, how was that my fault? So a lot of times, this can be romantic or simply friendship. Someone who doesn't recognize the impact that they've had on the demise of a friendship or relationship isn't really being open and available. Instead, they're pointing the fingers and avoiding themselves. Another thing when we talk about emotionally unavailable is sometimes relationships start out fast and furious, meaning sometimes the romantic relationship, a man who is emotionally unavailable will move into the sexual phase of the relationship quickly, but it won't be just because he wants sex. Relationships have a natural developmental flow. People who are emotionally unavailable actually do the beginning of the relationship really fast and sometimes even really well because they bypass the discomfort and natural rhythm of intimacy as always as a way of being open. Now, you know, and we know that sex can be different for both male and women, especially when we come to relationship. And we did the show a couple of weeks ago about intimacy. Anybody want to chime in on that one? Because sometimes even relationships start out fast, you think things are going really great, and then all of a sudden the person disappears or they're no longer available. They're standing you up. It could have been a one-night stand. You didn't know it was going to be a one-night stand. Any one of you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I'll chime in on that. You can go first. Go ahead.
Okay, Amy?
I was going to say that a lot of times, like, we find ourselves in relationships that, you know, somebody – whether it's the male or the female, leaves the relationship and realizes they were wrong and they'll come back to the relationship because sometimes, like, feelings, they do cause fear, especially when they trigger some sort of, emotion that was in a previous relationship, whether it was a negative or positive. And if that relationship didn't work out, you may run and then realize that that's something that you really do want.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. Robert, what do you want to add to that?
I was just the first thing that popped into my mind was in codependency, one of the characteristics is accepting sex when you really want love. So that is a big thing that a lot of people address in Codependence Anonymous. And, you know, another red flag is getting into a relationship and just immediately going into the sex phase, because that's a big red flag. If things are going too fast, and it seems like in my own recovery, that what I'm discovering is that if you really have a deep-rooted love of yourself, everything else is going to fall in line, period. And if there's no respect in a relationship, walk away from it. Respect is like a cornerstone of any relationship.
Correct.
I agree.
And, you know, and individuals don't even understand what that means when we talk about respect. Because they'll say, I love you, but by that same token, they don't show that they love you because some individuals don't even respect themselves, which makes it even far more complicated. And we're going to get to some of the issues in regards to what a person can do if that other person is emotionally unavailable, because we say walk away, walk away, walk away. And sometimes individuals find it hard to walk away, but you don't want to be in a emotionally or toxic relationship. Now, I gave some information in regards to how to tell if a man is emotionally unavailable, but I found it to be quite interesting even when it comes to women. And they have, there are 12 signs of an emotionally unavailable woman, because an unavailable woman kind of do things differently from men. I mean, we have individuals that are workaholics. Like I said, mental health can play a part in it. The person can be married or in a committed relationship and don't want to tell you. They can say they can use school as an excuse. They can use a lot of different things. Now, here are 12 signs of an emotionally unavailable woman. And this is basically comes from is Live Bold and Bloom. And it indicates that men and women want to experience a healthy, fruitful relationship with the person they love. But a lot of times, like I said, people misrepresent the word love too. But relationships are the bond that holds society together. But being in a relationship is a complicated enterprise. We know that not all two people are alike when it comes to sharing life experiences or when it comes to falling in love. And we like to think that we will fall in love with someone who can express their love in an unusual way. And I find that to be interesting because a lot of times people marry and they're not even in love. They just doing it because they're going to later fall in love, or they get connected with someone, been together for years, and they wonder why they have no emotional connection. But here are 12 signs to look for in a woman who is emotionally unavailable. Number one, she has difficulty sharing her feelings. Now, a lot of times men think, well, we think women love to talk. But, Amy, you know we'll talk, but we'll be going around in circles and don't be really talking about much. But some women are quiet because they may be that way. And some women have a hard time sharing any type of emotion because at an early age, they may have got the message not to share them, or they did not share them, and emotional pain was the outcome. Other women have a hard time putting words together to express how they feel, so they keep quiet and act like nothing fazes them. Now, I know, Amy, and I know you've made some comments in regards to myself. I put on this facade like nothing bothers me, but I show my emotions in a different way. But most people say, well, she's emotionally detached. She don't care about nothing. I just don't let things bother me, especially if I know I have no control over it. Amy, you want to comment on a person or a female having difficulty sharing her feelings?
Yeah, I think it happens all the time. Back even my generation, we were told, like, you know, girls don't get mad. You don't show that you're mad, whereas guys, you know, they can go out and fight it out to an extent. And
mm-hmm.
so we tend to hold things on. And then, like, as we get into these adult relationships, maybe our significant other says something and it triggers something from our childhood that we didn't even know. And then we get labeled as crazy. And it goes for men. Like, men can't cry in today's society because you look at them and sometimes they're labeled as weak. So it goes
mm-hmm.
both ways. But that's changing. Like, in preschools now, they teach it that, like, both males and females can have emotions, and everything's mainly gender neutral these days. To go back to your original question about girls having a hard time sharing their feelings, I get labeled as, you know, being a robot, you know, because I don't want to make
mm-hmm.
it. I'm people pleaser. It's about, like, when I try and tell people how I'm feeling, it, you know, I just shut down because it's going to cause an unnecessary fight. Like, is it really worth me fighting?
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to realize that people want to know those feelings, though.
Correct. But my thing is, I never really was taught how to even engage in that conversation to talk about your feelings, because some individuals, because I always had a lot of male friends, and when I would listen to them talk, to what I would pick up and gather was, when they would hear women talking about her feelings, she was either emotional, weak, or needy. And to them, that was a turnoff. So I just never talk about feelings. So I didn't feel how to even engage in a conversation. Now, we can say I statements, meaning when someone has done something that you don't like and you want to correct the behavior, or you can tell the person, you know what, I'm really starting to enjoy being with you. I guess that's a way of sharing your feelings. But how would you even, Robert, what would you expect for a woman in regards to even engaging in that type of conversation from a male's perspective?
I think, again, what I heard Amy say is that emotionally that there's a fear of opening up because there's, you know, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position and you could be labeled. And
mm-hmm.
You got to get past that. And you can't bottle up your emotions. Otherwise, they're going to pop up somewhere else.
They will pop up, but Robert, what is a woman supposed to do? I mean, I used to always tell people, I got to feel comfortable. I got to be able to, I mean, you want to trust yourself because you don't know if you can trust another person anyway, but you got to be comfortable and secure within your own feelings. Because sometimes you can throw your feelings out there and they may not be reciprocated, or the person may not even be interested in you, and then you walking around like, okay, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell this person that I'm like them or interested in them, or they're not available. But at least you did put it out there. I guess you didn't throw it out there. Kind of the subject came up again, Amy, with that check the box, I like you, you like me. you know. I was like, ooh, okay. But I guess I was just supposed to check the box. I wouldn't check the box. Check the box. I ain't checking no box. But that was a long, long time ago. But the next one is, she's not interested in knowing who you are. Some women like the concept of a relationship, but they don't want to be in one. Wow. If you dig too deep and discover who you really are, they run away, because that means they will have to share who they are. So a lot of times it says, in most cases, sharing her life and feelings scares the crap out of her, so she acts like she's not interested in knowing the real you. Meaning, a lot of times individuals are married or dating people, Amy, they don't even know who they're living with. It's like, what was that, sleeping with the enemy? Amy, you want to speak on that in regards to the
yes.
fact that the person may not be interested in, because they don't want to give up no info?
I mean, yeah, I think it happens a lot more frequently than we realize, and we've talked about this before, is like knowing who you're dating. I just watched that Ted Bundy movie that just came out, and that's a great movie to show middle schoolers and high schoolers that they can be attractive and, you know, good, they can be attractive and be good with their words, but yet still be a serial killer. And that's why we need to know who we're going home with. I mean, today it's a little bit different because we have social media, and we all creep when we meet somebody and see who they are and what they're up to. But for the most part, like, you still need to know their first and last name and what they're doing and why they're there and small talk. That we all forget to do.
Correct. I like Clifford Dollar said one time, we got to learn how to ask the tough questions. But even when we ask those questions, sometimes individuals can still be dishonest, or the person will bypass all of that because they may have other hidden agendas. Another one is, she fears closeness but doesn't want to be vulnerable. And we talked about that in regards to relationships can be messy. So many women take the less bumpy road and focus on themselves instead of exposing themselves and being hurt by a man or by someone else. But sometimes they always say it's better to have love and lost than never have loved at all. Another one is, when you can tell she's unavailable, she gets defensive and self-protective when she is challenged. Women wear masks in order to hide from relationship challenges. They hide certain aspects of themselves in order to fit in or to put people in a non-threatening frame of mind. Now, a lot of times, you know, when I'm reading this and looking at this, sometimes people use defense mechanism. It could be survival skills. It could be a lot of different things. And sometimes it can also be PTSD. It can bring up red flags. What about becoming defensive, Amy? Do you find, or have you known women that they're unavailable, or they become defensive or protective when a person try to challenge them or ask them questions about themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I remember dating in college and being emotionally unavailable. Like, I didn't want to be in a serious relationship because I didn't want to try and do distance, or I didn't really want to be all in with this person. I was just kind of testing the water, and I just, like, had this excuse as to why I should not be in a relationship, which was definitely more fear-based than just going for it. And I think a lot of times, like, I would get defensive. People would be like, why? You know, they question you, and you're just like, you don't really have a reason, so you just get defensive. But I think some people do have reasons, and it's all stems from previously. Like, we always say that, and so that's why we need to ask questions, and we don't need to pry or force people, because then we make them run, and we don't want to do that.
Barbara, what would you do, or how would you respond if you met a woman and she became very defensive when she was self-protected when she was challenged? Because I know you experienced that towards the end of your marriage. But what if this was in the beginning of your dating?
I did see that, and in the beginning, and that was definitely a red flag, and I ignored it. When you see those red flags pop out, when you get in a relationship, and especially if you get with the lens of perspective of, you know, falling under the spell of love, sometimes your judgments and your perceptions get clouded. So you got to be vigilant and when red flags pop up. And then again, that all goes again with the, is that an aspect of respect?
Mm-hmm.
And if that aspect of respect isn't there, I mean, if there's no respect there, you can't have honest conversations. You can't mm-hmm. be honest with one another. So is it worth pursuing?
Mm-hmm. Robert, you gave me a topic. I like that topic. He said, falling under the spell of love. Amy, we're going to explore that one.
To go off what he said, though, like, also I think a lot of times girls are taught that guys should chase us, you know, like, whether it's in movies and, like, they have to pursue us. So they play this card of emotionally unavailable and hope that they chase after us. But when guys are, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's a red flag and they go for the hills, then you can't expect them to know what you're feeling, you know. And that's why it's important that we do learn to express how we feel, because you're going to end up pushing people away that are very, very possible lifelong partners. And you're going to ruin great things by pushing people away and not expressing how you feel.
Gotcha. Well, you know what? I think that once a conversation is initiated, and then I could use myself as an example, I can engage in a conversation. But if I got to just go out there and just start it, I don't know if I would do that. I don't know. Another one is, she can't function when there's conflict. Women who are emotionally unavailable avoid conflicts at all costs. I guess that's what I do. Even when there's great things going on, they have a tendency to keep their guard up so they can escape when the first sign of conflicts appear, meaning like exit stage left. So what about that in regards to can't function when there's conflict? Because we know that relationship has its ups and its downs, and, you know, disagreeing does not mean disrespecting. But when we start talking about conflict, and if a person has difficulties regulating their emotions or expressing their emotions, they're definitely going to demonstrate poor conflict resolution skills. Robert or Amy, any comments on that?
Yeah, poor conflict resolution skills. Again, if you don't address your emotions and you head for the hills and avoid it, again, that those emotions aren't going to go away. They're going to pop up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And
give me some examples of where you think they pop up at, because I think mine popped up in food.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
I said, what do you think they pop up at? Because I said, I think mine popped up in food. I used food to hide my emotions.
Food.
What are some of the other ways that you think that people use or escape routes? I would say work, food, what else?
Mom, can you close the door?
What are some other ways that you guys can think of that people do?
I think some people just leave. They just run. They cause fights with other minor things in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, were you about to say something else, Robert?
Oh, I lost my train of thought.
Okay. I'm going to move on to the next one. Another one, it says, the female can blame others and avoid personal responsibility, meaning she'll make jokes in serious situations and is quick to blame and judge others. Self-responsibility is not her wheelhouse, but sarcasm and deflection are her calling cards, meaning what she does is it becomes everybody else's fault. Or they did this to me in the last relationship I was in, this happened to me. And they get so caught up in that, so sometimes they don't give the new relationship or the other person a chance. And I believe that's kind of why, you know, a lot of people used to say that good guys finish last, because so many people have been hurt in the past by other people. But they, you know, I heard a person say one time, what was your role? What role did you play in this? Any comments?
I feel like you're describing me with these 10 things.
This is me,
but you can change, you know, like you just have to learn how to express yourself. Like, I always use sarcasm and, you know, I shut down and become monotone and be called a robot when I'm trying to figure out a disagreement, but you can work through it, Miss. That's just something that needs to be approached from both parties. And if that person
mm-hmm.
wants to be in the relationship and you want to be with them, then you just have to have patience and work with through them because you're also not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Another one, Amy, that's real important with females is she doesn't want a committed relationship, meaning emotionally unavailable women usually have bad taste when it comes to the men in their lives. They like men who are also emotionally unavailable are guys who are in a relationship because they can keep things superficial. She chooses men she knows who can't or won't be there when it counts, and that's fine because she doesn't want to feel obligated to be there for them either. When a man who is emotionally unavailable and unattached shows interest, these women run for the nearest exit or shut down a relationship before they have the chance. Amy, when I saw that, I was like, ooh. You know, we say we want to be in a relationship. We say we want to be with somebody, but do we really? Even Michelle had to laugh about that one.
Right? I'm scared, but sometimes I'm bored. Like, I wish I had someone, but at other times, I'm like, I don't want anybody. I don't want anybody telling me what to do or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Amy, this one right here is great, Amy. She spends time with a partner when it's convenient for her. Girl, you know how many times I've been accused of that one? Unavailable women are solo artists. They build their world around them and then attract a partner when it suits their needs. Compromising with partner is a challenge, and they only agree to spend time in a relationship when they feel it will benefit them in some way. I was like, oh, okay.
I think a lot of times, like, people, you know, when they get pregnant and they feel like they have to be with the partner, or even the couple we had the other week, you feel like you need to be with somebody because of your child. There's a lot of excuses we make up to staying with somebody, you know, like, oh, we're, you know, we're getting older. Like, am I going to have kids? Like, this person loves me. And, or you love that person, but you're not in love with that person.
Correct. And that goes on to something, but Robert, this one is going to be good for you. You, a woman who is unavailable has a narcissistic streak. Women who avoid emotional encounters at any time are usually narcissistic. Robert, what you got to say about that?
Oh, boy. How much time do we got left?
That's 18 minutes. Because there
yeah, that's a big topic there. You tend to, I don't even know where to begin on that.
Robert,
yeah, I found myself attracted to somebody that was fit that category, and it's a weird situation because when you first get into it, you get love bombed, and you get it's an addiction.
It is.
And you got neurochemistry going on in your head, and you become addicted to it. And then they ramp up the thing and start doing trauma bonding on you. And you don't know up from down. And as a codependent, I want to touch on the last subject. We tend to get into relationships and we stay too long because it's our coping mechanism that we learned as a kid. So we get stuck in this bad, toxic relationship, but I'm going to stay. And with me, it was like, I'm going to try to fix it. And
you know, and
I couldn't.
It was interesting, Robert, because I said that you started stuttering. But the thing is, like I said, their world revolves around themselves, and they believe this is true. All other beliefs and needs are secondary, so they have no merit. But these women can be very charming and engaging at first. They have the ability to hide their narcissistic ways until things don't go their way. And when her back is up against the wall or her manipulative behaviors are exposed, the only person she cares about is herself, and that's where people get hurt. Another one is she may want sex, but not love. Emotionally unavailable women don't mind having one-night stands. And when they get into a relationship, sex is the bond that holds the relationship together. Love and sex are strange bedfellows in the minds of these women. So sex trumps love because love is either too complicated or not something they relate to for a variety of selfish reasons. They can be aloof. They can't see the forest for the trees. And these are just some things that if a person is in those type of relationships. It's funny because I'm looking at some comments, and it says, I realized I met one of these. I was talking to her for almost 5 months. She would pull away and come back into my life when she missed me. She never asked me about what was going on in my life and any questions. I would ask about her, seeing her, or making plans to see each other again, was always answered with, I don't know, maybe. Then would come up with reasons why she would not be able to go and end up going out with her friends. Then all of a sudden, she would want to see me. It really became only about sex. You know, I can see where this can become very frustrating. It can be very toxic. And I'm looking at some of the response and the comments that people have made in regards to being with emotionally unavailable individuals. Amy, we do therapy, and Robert do codependency groups. Robert, tell individuals a little bit about what codependency is about.
Codependency is childhood trauma. It usually stems from dysfunctional family, and it's your coping mechanisms as a child, and they are with you today as an adult, and these coping mechanisms make your life unmanageable. They definitely will show up in your interpersonal relationships, making bad decisions, picking wrong partners, picking unemotional partners, unavailable partners for yourself, and you basically create another toxic dysfunctional relationship in the relationship you build with whoever you pick as a partner. And
mm-hmm.
there's various aspects of it, and it could be control patterns, can be compliance patterns, could be denial patterns, and it's like a sliding scale. One
mm-hmm.
aspect of it is you want to control. A lot of codependent are people pleasers. I'll do everything for the benefit of everyone else to the point where you're depleted and you can't go on. And you're helping others. And if you really look at it and you're truthful about it, it's a manipulation
mm-hmm.
method that you learned as a kid.
Correct. Correct. Well, thank you for sharing, Robert, because we're trying to educate individuals when it comes to these type of behaviors and try to get them some help, because individuals viewed codependency as something totally different than what it actually is. And with education and resource, that can help individuals learn how to engage in healthy, untoxic relationships. Now, I found some information and it indicates he's emotionally unavailable and so are you. Meaning a lot of times we hook up with people just like us because it's familiar. And a lot of times we say, okay, it happened again. I've fallen for this guy who's yet another variation of the emotionally unavailable thing. Now, these are some of the things. Sometimes they could be married. And I would never advise anyone to get into a relationship with someone that is married, especially if they are living at home with their spouse. If they're separated and you're talking about it, or if they're honest with the fact that the process of getting a divorce and they're separated. But the bottom line is, if they're married at home with kids, don't mess up nobody's life. Another emotionally unavailable is sometimes they live in another city. Sometimes they're consumed with their work. Sometimes they're busy chasing drugs, alcohol, or sex. Bottom line is, they seem like they just don't have time for you. but almost always they come on strong, promising. Things seem great. You got a bright future, only to vanish into either this circling thing, or they come back whenever they want. But the cycle can be draining because each time you feel that this is it, I'm not handling this no more, your heart starts aching, but you still wind up in those same type of situations. Now, what it means to be emotionally available. So if you know if a person is unavailable, you have to know when a person is available for you. Now, somebody keep calling me. So basically, being unavailable is you're not ready, you're not there. But being available means that it's kind of a little different because it means you show up as who you are, not who you wish you were. You behave like a grown-up. You express your needs and your desires in a straightforward manner. You speak up when you're not comfortable. You don't go along with someone simply because they're worried or you're worried you're going to lose them, so that means you ain't going along to get along. Now, what to do if you want a real relationship? Now, we know that real relationships take a lot of work and require that both partners be emotionally healthy and available. I say that you have to be healthy mentally, spiritually, physically, and also a little bit of financially too. But these are some steps individuals can do. Be transparent. When you're clear about your feelings, your needs, your values, you're transparent. Even though it can be scary to express yourself because you might risk rejection, I think, Amy, that's one of the biggest things that people deal with is they're afraid if they tell the person who they are, the other person might like them, might not like them, or they feel that they're going to be rejected. But do you really want to be with someone who doesn't love you for who you are? It's better to find that out at the starting gate than 6 months into it and realize you're someone totally different. Any comments, either Amy or Robert? What do you think about that, about being transparent?
I love that. To thine self be true, and when you're truthful with yourself, again, you're going to be truthful with your relationships. And I liked what you had said a couple conversations ago about detachment and rejection. It's okay if you're detached from it. It's when you take it personally, and that's hard not to get past, you know, taking things personally. It's not – if you're open and you're transparent and you're honest with somebody and they still don't like you and reject you, that's not your fault. You could walk away from it, and you could be detached from it and experience that emotion but not be overcome by it.
Correct, because then maybe that person is just not the person for you. They're not ready yet. And also take your time. Love is effortless. Love develops over time. So when people start meeting somebody and then we're talking about, oh, I love you, you don't even know me. How are you going to love me? You know, and a lot of times individuals will say that, and that's that word that they know that most people are waiting to hear. So as soon as they hear it, they're like, oh, my God, we're in love. No, you're not. So enduring relationships are built on a foundation of similar values. You cannot possibly know if you're truly compatible, not just sexually compatible, in just a few weeks. So don't be rushed to close a deal before you know enough about that person to make sure that's what you want. A lot of times people get caught up with that. They're so busy running to the bedroom, running to the altar, they don't run to a church or try to talk to individuals and have conversations. And now we also emphasize the importance of premarital counseling. There's a lot of things that need to be discussed before you even, like we talked about, we need to have a pre-dating counseling. I need to find out about you or go to counseling or talk to somebody before we even start dating so you won't be wasting your time. Amy, what do you think about that in regards to taking your time?
I think we see it all the time, like especially you, but in like military relationships, it's like they're riding the gas pedal. Like they just get engaged and married and kids so quickly, and then we have all these, relationship burdens come in because they don't know how to handle it or they don't really know the person or they're not ready to be settled down. I have a lot of friends that, you know, jump from one relationship to the next, and they don't really know the person before – it just goes so quickly, and they don't take the time to get to know the person, or they end up moving in together. That's one of the biggest things I think I see is people just jump into living together, and it might be a financial thing, but why do you want to live with somebody? I don't know. I mean, my opinion on it is different too. If I just couldn't live with somebody without really knowing them.
Mm-hmm. It's true, because living with somebody is complicated. Another thing is show up for the person. I always tell people in regards to a friend, in order to have a friend, you should know how to be a friend. So you have to know how to show up for a person. And showing up for someone isn't about trying to fix all of their problems. That has a lot to do with codependency. It's about listening, validating, and accepting that person for who they are. It's about allowing them to be vulnerable. And some emotionally unavailable women don't know how to do that when a person opens up. They don't know how to handle honest feelings, and they don't know what to do when someone needs something from them other than sex. If you're serious about wanting a serious relationship, you need to get over the urge to fix things or resist the urge to run at the first sign of vulnerability. And sometimes that could be a challenge, but you got to practice that. Meaning you can't fix a person all of their problems, and you don't have to run for the hill just because something makes you feel uncomfortable. Any response in regards to that, Robert?
Sure, I could go there. How I've dealt with that, because that was definitely my one of my issues with codependency as a people pleaser and going towards the empath scale. I would want to fix people, and I've learned through recovery that the only person I could really fix is myself, and I work on myself. And then once I've realized that, then I can allow other people's to be, have their flaws and character defects, and just observe them, and not, it's not my responsibility to fix you. And that has opened up a whole new world for me, because I'm not as drained at the end of the day. I don't have to go fix everybody. The only person responsible to fix is me.
Mm-hmm. And this is for individuals that are emotionally unavailable, or for those that basically are struggling with their emotions or dealing with these issues. Develop yourself. A lot of times we're so worried about other people, we forget about ourselves. Whether, even if we are emotionally available, we have to make sure that we don't connect with a person that's unavailable, or vice versa. So by developing yourself, if your own life is in chaos, you cannot be emotionally available. A lot of times individuals jump into situations and relationships at the wrong time. You know, if you're dealing with some grief, you're dealing with a lot of other things that's going on in your life, you know you're not going to be available. You need to clean house. So before even thinking about having a relationship, if you're struggling with addiction, please seek treatment. You know, they have rehabs out there. They have sober living homes. If you feel empty, find something, not someone, that gives your life meaning. Everybody has some type of talent, or either find a hobby. Go out and develop yours. You're much more likely to attract a good relationship material when you're like who you are and feel comfortable in your own skin. Because once you understand that you choose unavailable people because you're unavailable as well, you can change your own dysfunctional behavior. But you first have to realize that it's dysfunctional. But you can find a relationship when you are ready for a relationship. Amy, anything you want the listeners to know as we close the show, as it relates to this topic?
I think that if you are questioning if you are emotionally unavailable, then to, you know, seek some help. And there's something wrong with that, especially with me being mental health awareness. We get that all the time. There's issues that have stemmed from, you know, childhood or previous relationships that you should work through before you can fully be there for someone else.
Gotcha. And, you know, we didn't even talk about how individuals become emotionally unavailable because of their religious practice or belief, because there's some religions that don't engage in certain type of relationships. So that's a whole other topic and issue too. So, Amy, what do you want to talk about next week? And as you mentioned that the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, what do you want to talk about to give the listeners some insight in regards to mental health?
Just that it's all around us. It surrounds us. People in our lives are struggling, and it's often hush-hush, and it's okay to bring it up and talk to people that you think that may need help seeking mental health care.
So we'll talk about breaking the taboo, okay? So we'll use the subject, the taboo, regarding mental health because it is a taboo subject. And tomorrow I will be on the air with Pastor Dan Estelle from Higher Dominion Worship Center, and we're going to be talking about reverence in God's house, meaning there's a lot going on in the church when it comes to reverence, and I found a lot of information talking about there is no reverence, but we got to get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I want to thank you for joining us here today at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. As today we talked about emotionally unavailable, I want to thank you, Amy, Michelle, and Robert for joining me here on the air today. And next week we're going to be talking about the taboo regarding mental health. And tomorrow it will be reverence in God's house. So until then, remember, you got this. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.